Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." So Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave it to her husband Abram as his wife. He went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. So Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms. But when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live to the east of all his brothers." Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees." For she said, "I have even remained alive here after seeing him." Therefore, the well was called Be'er Lahai Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him.
Any questions? How about any ideas? How about any thoughts? Yes.
10 years.
So what?
10 years.
We'll talk about that. Actually, it's we'll get to know. Add 5 more to it. It's the 15 years that matter. All right. Any other comment? Yes.
Knowing women, what was Sarah thinking about? I mean, sorry. Dumb. And then she blamed for Abraham.
Okay, we will explain this as best I can. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Why did Abraham name his son Ishmael? Did it mean something special?
Yes, it is. Very, very special.
Come on.
Very, very special. Yes.
Yeah. Some people think this is part of the advocation of polygamy.
True.
And some people see that this is why they shouldn't have polygamy.
Ishmael is the beginning of the Arab peoples.
Yeah.
Are you going to go into the name Ishmael?
Yes, so we'll talk about that. In extension, that was already asked by her. You didn't hear her voice a little small. It's a very special name. That's why. I'm glad you asked that question, because we'll go through his name. Yeah. Yes?
Just his translation was, "He shall dwell to the east of his brethren."
That's particular
translation. But the word Panaim, it's in the face. He's going to be right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. His translation, for some reason, had it that way, and I'm not quite sure why. And Hebrew does not word it that way.
Yeah.
Well, but we'll get to there. Any more thoughts?
Why did God send Hagar back to submit to...
We'll get to there, too.
Okay.
The answers will come through. And more in detail, why surprising, okay? What is unusual about this particular chapter that seems out of the norm? Or does it look normal? All right, last week we talked just about verse 1, right? Okay, now let's go into verse 2. Now Sarai is saying something. What did she say?
The Lord restricted her from having children.
Oh! Who prevented her from having children?
The Lord.
Oh! Why did you do that for?
She didn't know.
I mean, that's what it says, right? Now, sometimes we have a thing in our mind because we're in the 21st century, 22nd century. What century are we in? Anyway, some kind of century. And when a woman's barren, we say, oh, the Lord sold me out. Well, that's not necessarily scripturally true. All right? So we'll go through this very first thing that she has said so we can see and understand. This is not the hand of Sarai. This is the hand of Yahweh. Yahuwah, whatever you want to call him, the Eternal, the Creator of heaven and earth. He did this on purpose. Why did you do that on purpose for? See, sometimes we don't think God really had his hand in Sarah or Sarai's life. Oh, it's just a statement she made. No, the Word of God is true. Everything that comes from him, every devarim, is true. Yes?
Well, it's just that this is part of a play for our benefit.
Well, yeah, that's what you need to see. It's going to reveal something to us that affects to this living day. Yes?
Yeah, I remember when you were talking about the very first line of Genesis, the Aleph Tav, and you said God knows the end from the beginning.
Correct.
So in other words, this is just part of his eternal plan.
Plan. We have to recognize it and in a sense accept it. Now, the 10th year when this took place. I answered that really quickly. Actually, it's 15 years from the time that what happened when Abram left his father and mother and moved into the land. 15 years is a very critical period of time to know and acknowledge, because it's going to relate to a certain specific timing of 490 years. I'm not going to explain that today, but that 15-year cycle, that 15-year slide, we'll get to that precisely later on. We have to get it. He's been 10 years here, and there's so many years that go down the line that goes on farther. So we have to ask ourselves some questions. The 10 years is important to know. As we get into the scripture later on, we will find 15 years very, very important. So 10 years is a critical time. That names something, a point in time. What happened on the 10th year when he was there? Yes.
Is that when he went to Egypt?
Nope. He went to Egypt prior to that. The 10th year. Okay.
That's when he conceived with Hagar.
That's when it... Hagar. Her name, by the way, is not Hagar. She's not Hag. It's Hagar. Hagar. You know, he pronounced it right when he said... I'm glad that Jeff pronounced it right, because it really sounds horrible to say Hagar. It's a really horrible name in English, but it's Hagar. Hagar, if you could roll your R. And by the way, what does her name mean? Well, wait, don't ask that question yet. I got to get to this point here, please. Now, let's continue on with what Sarai said. You see now that Yahuwah has restrained me. Now, what does that word restrained mean in Hebrew?
Held back.
What else?
Prevented.
Huh?
Prevented.
Shut up.
Prevented,
okay. Shut up. Sealed, cut off. So the hand of the Eternal was involved with this whole picture. And we have to kind of know and acknowledge and accept the mere fact that we don't maybe understand his thinking. All we have to do is hear his thinking. When we hear his thinking, and this chapter will tell you what he's thinking. Very important. All right. Now, in there it says in the presence, but restricted really means, and it's a different word for it. We'll go a few words here. Don't have to turn there. But it has to have strict meaning to enclose or to shut up or to hold back or to retain something, keep it from something from happening, occurring. It's a simple little Hebrew word to get to know that. And, you know, and we don't have to turn to Daniel of Deuteronomy 11, chapter verse 17. And it says here, well, verse 16, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn from aside and serve other Elohims and worship them. Lest the eternal, Yahuwah, anger rose against you, and he shut up the heavens. So he's the one that opens and closes. We got that picture? He's the one that opens and closes. The same Hebrew word with her is that he closed it off. And nothing she could do about it. And she knew it was from him. I'll explain this as we keep on. To understand a little bit, I can't go into this week. Next week, I'm going to have a special one still associated with this chapter. But it's going to be a very special section. It's going to take a long time to explain this. But have the hand of the Lord is extremely powerful. All right? But he has a purpose behind everything he's ever done. We have to kind of accept that and accept it as the truth. All right, now. The other word was, see that those I want, that's chapter 2, verse 2, that was the other word I want to look at. Okay. Yeah, and Abram did what? He agreed.
He listened
to him. Mm-hmm. Now, Hagar was not a 45, 55, 105-year-old lady. She is very young and very attractive, and hey, I'm not saying that Abraham could resist it. I'm not saying that. Yes, Jeff.
Well, the Code of Hammurabi allows for that.
I'm sorry, what?
The Code of Hammurabi allows for that.
All right.
If a woman is barren, she...
Right, but we're not talking about that. We're talking right here now for a moment.
Right, but they were from Mesopotamia.
I know, but they came from that tradition of Abraham. Abraham didn't pick up the tradition, started somewhere. They used Abraham as a reason, but they don't understand why God did it. This is my point. The Jews have all sorts of ways of getting rid of a wife. That's not what this is about. I want to get clear of this. I'm sorry, we're getting a little bit excited here. I'm sorry. I adore looking at this word, and I adore looking at the word, and I tear it apart. Yes, I dissect it, and I try to find out what it's all about, because I think it's very important. Because it's Devarim Elohim. It's the words of Elohim. It's the words of God. And so, is the word of God telling us a lie?
No.
Oh, no. He's telling us what he did. So we have to accept something in our mind. He is the one that shut it off for a reason. What was the reason? The reason is Hagar. He was going to create something or bring about something that most of us do not know. So we're going to go through that. In the next chapter, next verse 13, no, 14. And it says that, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she had conceived, she conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. All right, this lady... Well, she's a really weird lady, isn't it? Why, now I'm pregnant and you're not. Is that what it's all about? Well, let's find out. Let's find out, okay? Because it was planned by God for this to take place. We have to accept that as a truth. All right, now let's go on. Mistress means what? Not modern English, please. In Hebrew and ancient English, huh?
Concubine.
No, mistress does not mean concubine here. This Hebrew word doesn't mean concubine.
The
means what?
That she is under and
right. She is the one. She's like a lady. We talked about the word lady last week. That's why her name was Sarah, right? And later became known as Sarah. Has to do associated with some woman who is responsible, has charge, has authority. It's a title of someone who is in position. All right, responsibility. She had, who was she responsible? She had, we know, at least one handmaid, right? She might have had a lot of them. We don't know. Because Abraham had a tremendous amount of men. Remember, he went to war? A lot of men he had to feed and clothe. And guess what? Who has to run the food and clothing and shelter for all the women that these men had? It was her responsibility. She was in charge. She had a job to do. She didn't just issue here, issue there, issue there, issue. She actually worked for a living. As Abram worked for a living, she had to work. Right? Let's continue on here now. Now, despise. Remember we went through the word despise before? What does despise mean? We have this song we sing. Abram's blessing. Remember what I told you, what the word meant in Hebrew? You forgot. I will curse those who... That's not what it says in Hebrew. Who what?
Despise you.
Esteemless. Consider unimportant. Consider not valuable. In this particular case, Hagar began to consider her maid, or her boss, not as important as herself. Why? Well, she had been conceived. She got a baby coming. And this is what upset. Now, we don't know what words are said. We don't know anything. But she uses the phrase in her what?
Eyes.
This is how Hagar saw. And Sarai was very much aware of how she was seeing things. Right? Does that make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because this story is about, not Sarai, this story is about Hagar. All right. And it's about what Yahweh said to her. All right, it's very important that we listen. There are some things here that we just kind of read the story. Of course, I'm one that person has a hard time reading the story, trying to find out what it meant. And so you're here today tolerating it. Anyway, verse 16. So Abram said to Sarai, oh, we've got to go back here. Verse 5.
Verse 6,
right. This is a real, real cool statement. All right. Trying to answer your question you asked, what was going on in her mind for mine? What was happening? All right, let's just read it here. And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave you my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised, considered esteemed less in her eyes. And Yahweh, judge you. Says between you and me, Yahweh is going to judge you, Abram, on this and what took place. Find out. So Abram, it's not like I had a cool way out. Not my job. Not my job, man. I'm not guilty. You take it. It's your maid. Do what you want to do with it. You know. And so what did Sarah do?
Sent her away.
She dealt harshly with her.
Harshly is the word. Very, very important what that word means. You know what that word means in Hebrew?
Harshly.
I'm sorry, what?
Harshly.
That's what it means in English. Well, we had to kind of clarify exactly what was taking place before we go there. So what is Sarah saying here? Hagar was wrongly treated her, and she stated that Abram is responsible. Right? Why would Abram be responsible, held accountable?
Because he was the husband and the head of the house.
And Hagar became Abram's wife. He is to have jurisdiction over her now. So what did Abram do? He reversed it. Ah! Now she's yours.
He was smart.
Huh?
That was smart.
That's smart. I mean, there's a story for a reason, for a purpose behind this. We've got to find out what the purpose behind it is, because there's a why Abram has, quote, she said, hold responsibility. What Abram said to Sarah seems to be, what, his defense? He did not want to deal with it. So he told her, take it yourself. You want to do what you want to do. You solve the problem. Now, it sounds like it was an argument here in a quarrel. Maybe then, you know, we don't know over there.
Abram abdicated his responsibility a lot of places. He did that when he called her his sister in Egypt, and he's pretty good at that.
Who else have we read in the past who was responsible but did not fulfill his job?
David.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
That's Daniel. We're still the Torah person. Yes.
We're not there yet. I don't see Abraham not fulfilling his obligation. Abraham simply did something. You got two women, both liking the same guy.
Right.
You got trouble. And
but,
he's smart to say, but, hey, look.
I can understand all that, Ellie, okay. but we're not talking about that right now. We'll grant you right now. Why, what other person should have handled?
You're not there yet.
Way back in the Bereshit.
Adam.
There you go.
Adam.
You got it right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Get the plus. That's why Adam was cursed greater. Not Adam, but the ground was cursed for Adam's sake. You remember that's what it said? Was it cursed because of her? It's cursed because of Adam. Oh. Do we kind of see a parallel here? All right. But it's very strange. Harshly means, by the Hebrew, it means not only looking down, but, you know, our English word, browbeating. She was not nice to Hagar, not nice to Hagar at all. She means to put down, to become low, to be despised, to cast down. That's what Sarai was doing. Says she treated her harshly. You think the lady was upset?
Mm-hmm.
Upset with the lady, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, strange thing, though. Now we're going to find out. Verse 7. What did she do? What did she do?
She ran away.
That's where her name came from. Her name means one who flees. Hagar was not her birth name. Hagar was her name because that's what she did. The word means to flee and flee for your life. Did you know that before? She was running away for her life. This is how her name came into existence. And we think it's just an ordinary Egyptian name. No, it isn't. It's a Hebrew word meaning one who flees. All right? She had good grounds for it, right? I mean, she had been mistreated, especially in her eyes, right? Because no longer was Abraham going to protect her. No longer was Abraham going to take care of his second wife, might call it. He says, no, you handle it now. And so she did. You know. Now, I'll continue on what the Lord said. I don't know what your translations have or not. I'm going to read it. It says, now the angel of the Lord found her. And he didn't find her, by the way. That's not what the Hebrew word says. He appeared to her. Now, next week I'm going to talk extensively about Melech Yahuwah. It's the first time this phrase shows up. And we're going to do more detail about what that is and what it's all about. First time that phrase showed up. And it's filled from that point on. Okay, we'll talk about that more in detail, but not today. Just that what you're going to have. And you know, it says there, by the spring, you know the Hebrew word is? Ayin, by the eye. So it was, the spring was, what it means is the opening in the ground, and the water is coming up. It's called an ayin. Spring coming up, the water coming up, that little hole is called an ayin. And later came into being a well. They just built a well around this ayin, and it became a large well, a deep well. But listen now what he said. He says, where have you, verse 8, where have you come from? As if he didn't know. And where are you going? She didn't know where she's going to go, but she went down to the area called Sewer. A sewer is a border area. A sewer is a wall. It's like territory. It's the boundary line. It's the line just before you enter into Egypt. Or it's the boundary line just before you enter in from somewhere else. That word sewer means a boundary line or border line. It's like a wall, but not a wall we think here. That's not a wall. When you have your territory, you own a piece of property, you have what's called boundary lines. Well, in Hebrew, the old word was wall line. That was a wall line. That's your territory, okay? And so, where are you going? She says, I have fleeing from my presence of a mistress, Sarai. Then, verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress. Wow. Why? Now, she says, I want you to submit yourself to her. Now, was the angel of the Lord, or angel of Yahweh, or Melech Yahu, was he really correcting Hagar?
No.
He was not correcting Hagar.
Direct.
He was directing her to go back, because something else was going to transpire. And this, remember, the womb was sealed up. Yahweh, Yahuwah, sealed up. Now, and the angel of the Lord said one more thing. What did he say? I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so they shall not be counted for the multitude. That's an awful lot. Now we know that the Arab people are from Ishmael. How many do you think there are out there? More than you can count. They're still here today. They've always been present. They've been dominant in the oriental, eastern portion of the area. And the reason why, okay, we'll get to this in a minute. Remember, this is a transition that Yahuwah established. We have to kind of accept that. We don't like it. We think it was a big mistake. And we think all bad things happen and all this. That's true. But he had a reason behind everything he ever had to do. In the future, when he returns, we're going to have a great, tremendous amount of understanding of his motive. Yes?
So you're saying Yahweh caused this?
Yahweh what?
Is that what you just said? That
yes.
Yahweh
yes.
caused this to happen, Ishmael?
This caused it to happen. He's the one that sewed up the boom. We have to accept that. Yes?
Because if you think about it, he could have sewed up Hagar just as easily.
Just as easily. But he didn't. Sewed up Sarah a long time ago. She was already too old to have any kids anyway. It was sealed up a long time ago. And she named who did it. We say, well, maybe she's resentful. She's bitter against God, so therefore she said that. Well, no, no. Let's keep this in mind. The Word of God is not lying to us. It's telling us what the truth is. Let's continue on. Verse 11. Now he said, that's David. Now he go say something else to her. Now remember, he said two things here right now. I will multiply your descendants so they will not be able to be counted. Now I said, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. Why?
Because the Lord has heard your affliction.
Heard whose afflictions? That's right. He did not hearing Ishmael's. He's hearing hers. You mean he actually paid attention? Mm-hmm. You mean he actually kind of knew what was going on? See, now we had to pay attention a little bit more of this lady who's fleeing for her life. And then what she said. Because the story is not about Sarai. Nor is it about Ishmael. It's about Hagar. Now, what does Ishmael mean?
Husband of Elohim. Or...
Sorry, what?
Is it like husband of Elohim or...
God will hear. Okay. Let's go, Father.
What does
Ish
mean, man?
Ish. Shema. El. Ish. Man. Shema. Hair. El. God.
Man will hear God.
God hears the name. That's what it says. Here's the name of the Ish, the man. He's going to hear Ishmael. That's what that word breaking down in Hebrew is simple. All it says, Ish, meaning man. Shema, we all know what that means. Name. Or here, rather. Shema, Israel. Name, here. Look at that back. And then El means God. God hears man. What do you think that means? Who does God hear?
He heard her, Hagar.
He is going to hear, I'm sorry, the Arab world. He's going to hear the man, the Mish. He's going to hear the Muslim world. He's going to hear the Arabs. Now, listen else what he said, though. Because, see, we don't really have a full picture yet. This is the plan of God. Long before Isaac was born, long before Jacob was born, long before the son of Jacob before, long before Ishmael was to do something. What does it say now? Verse 12. Listen carefully. Did you read it? Mm-hmm. Now, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, he's going to be such a bad boy that, you know, I prophesied him. He's going to be this way all the way his life. No, he is going to have this individual person and his descendants who are unable to be counted to be like, and he read it, a wild ass of a man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, why? Why would God make sure that the Arab people would be, in our minds, a wild ass of a person? Out of control, wild, having not been tamed, had not been raised upright, had not been disciplined, had not been what? Yes?
Does it have anything to do with the donkey in the firstborn?
Look it. No. The donkey, wait, but the different story, but I have to quote, yes, we'll get the donkey in a minute.
They're designed to keep Israel dependent on God.
Through many afflictions, we enter.
We have to go through the furnace. We have to go through the bad parts. Why? So we come out on the other end purified. They all are, they're just members of, like Egypt, and we prophesied there in previous chapter, okay, about the fire and she brought the oven going through. That's for all the house of Israel. Long before they even existed, I'm going to put them through the furnace.
They're our furnace.
Yeah. Egypt was a furnace. Ishmael, his descendants, is a furnace. Yes.
Just even from the Arab point of view, They have been used as a tool. It must have been incredibly hard for Hagar to be used in such a manner and then discarded. How hard was it for Ishmael to see all of Abraham's property go to Isaac?
Now, let's before you say that, we have to read the next sentence. Okay, read the next sentence.
He will be his hand will be against every man's, and every man's against him. And he shall dwell in the face of all of his brethren. He's right there.
What brethren?
Israel.
The descendants of Jacob.
Yeah, Israel.
He's going to be in their presence. He's always going to be present in their, always in their face. We call it that language today. You cannot get rid of. You cannot eliminate. Israel today, they are, quote, cursed, or because of a prophecy from the eternal creator of heaven and earth says, he, Ishmael, will always be in your face. When will that not happen?
When the Messiah.
When he comes to help.
When they say Baruch Abba
Shemadon. That means total repentance. They've gone through, in a sense, we would call today in English language, hell. They've gone through a furnace. They're going through bad times. And the prophecy of the book of Revelation says they're going to lose. We know that. It says what it says, it's going to say. Of course, God says he's going to come back and he's going to deliver them out. Now, does that mean he's after to do one thing, to make sure all the descendants of Ishmael get killed? Is that God's plan is to wipe out all the Arabs? No. His plan was what?
Purify
whom? House of Israel.
Yeah.
All right, remember this is a book that's telling us about the descendants of Abraham. One of those descendants is going to be on the case of one of his other descendants. It's always going to bother him, always going to despise him, always going to resent him, always going to consider that they lost out on this promise. This is the reason why we have the Quran as the Quran. What does it say there? It says Ishmael is the one that received the promise.
Yeah.
It's written in their words, written in their language, because that is what they believe. Why? Because they are, and what do they want to do? Push the Jews completely off the face of the earth. Now this all goes back to Abram. All goes back to Sarah. All goes back to Ishmael. All goes back. Why would God create such an chaotic thing? It doesn't make sense in our mind because we think God is very compassionate. And he would never put a harm against anybody. He never tries anybody unless, of course, they need to be tried. However, we already had this prophecy of Abram's descendants. Fire would go right down the middle of them. A furnace would go right down the middle of them. They're going to be in slavery. Why? They don't exist yet. And those who put him in slavery didn't exist yet. Yes?
It almost seems like a curse or a consequence on Abraham for a decision.
It can be. But let me ask you a personal question. Don't have to answer it. If you believe that you do not have to go through the furnace, then what is it you are?
Huh?
If you don't believe you have to go through a furnace, then what is it you think you are?
Illegitimate.
I said you didn't have to answer the question. But if you believe you have to go through the furnace, what do you believe you are?
Sons and daughters of the living God.
And guess who went through that before? Right? So we're seeing a picture here. Now, we could look at Jesus or Yeshua and say, boy, you know, those Jews really treated him badly. And there is a prophecy, we won't go there today, about who the Eternal puts the blame on. And it wasn't the Roman. It wasn't the Roman soldier. It was somebody, two other group of people. We won't go there today. Passover's coming up, and I might address that when that comes. All right, so we have that he's always going to be dwelling in the presence of. He's always going to be present there. So when we think of the Arab world and the Muslim world, do you think that it is by the hand of the devil that's doing this? Or do you think it might be the hand of the eternal creator of heaven and earth? Because he prophesied, well, I would say he's going to bring it about. He said he's going to do it at the very beginning. He's going to do it. Yes.
Okay. I think that's one of the reasons that the enemy or Satan is always calls God a bad God or a mean God, or I won't worship a God that would do that.
Right.
Because Satan accuses God of that because God's tough.
Yep. Knowledge of, we'll talk about knowledge of tree of knowledge and the tree of life next month.
Yeah, I think it is very telling that when this angel, this Melech, Hashem, addresses Hagar, he doesn't really address her by first name.
Nope.
You know, of any kind, whether it's Hagar or anything else. He addresses her as the maid of Sarah.
Right.
He doesn't address her as Abram's second wife, junior wife,
no,
anything like that. Because they can do whatever they're going to do, but Hashem has his own way of seeing things, and the way he saw
and bringing it about.
The way he saw her was not as Abram's wife or any of that. That he didn't see that.
And he's the one that said, "You will name this child that, and that child will have descendants that you cannot number. They'll be so massive, it'll be impossible for you to count them, and they will always be in the presence of his brethren." We're not talking about Arab in the presence of Arabs. We're talking about the Arabs being in the presence of House of Israel, or in this sense, Isaac. Because he didn't have any brethren. Ishmael wasn't even born yet. He didn't have any brother. He didn't have sisters. He had nobody. Right? So we see here that God's going to bring about, when God named him that, that means something to tell us, because very seldom God names something before it is born. We get to name him after an incident. He named it before he is born. Yes.
You think about it, you know, you wonder why would Hagar be sent back to Sarah? And I think one reason, because she could have just as easily gone off somewhere else, raised Ishmael on her own, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if one of the reasons that God said, go back to Sarah, go back to her household, be under her authority, blah, 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 is when you're talking about this prophecy, is that he wanted Hagar, who had up to this point been, you know, maybe inflated of ego and this kind of thing about the fact that she was having Abram's child. You know, part of this prophecy is that Sarah is going to have Abram's child, and I want you to see that child. I want you to see that happen, and I want you to see the consequences of it.
And it's also, had to be humbled by God. He did it through Sarai. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to her in a minute. We're not finished with her yet.
Well, he wanted her to go through the furnace.
Yeah. And listen to what she said. Now, we don't really pay attention to her because she really is a really unimportant individual. The one that's really, really, really important in the history of Abram is, of course, Sarai, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then 12 sons. And then Ishmael comes on the problem, and there's this, and there's that, and there's this, and there's that. We're not listening to what she had to say. Now listen, you have to pay attention to what she... Yes?
I think it also speaks even deeper, like the whole flesh and the spirit, how the flesh wars against the spirit.
Right, but right now we're going to find out what she said is a prophecy of what will come about. Yes.
So why wasn't Ishmael part of the inheritance of Abraham?
Because it was not done by promise. We haven't gotten to Isaac yet. Has to be done by promise only. Ishmael was not done by promise. Now, there's a parallel. When we get to Isaac, we'll clarify this more in detail. But right now, there's a difference between the two. One was by human beings doing it, natural thing, and that one is by the power of the living God who did it. Did something different. Remember, how many times, remember, God didn't give the name of Eve. Who gave her name?
Adam.
Right. Autumn did. Gave her that name. How many women in the Bible have they been named before they were born? Tough question. How many men in the Bible have been named before they're born?
A lot. Johanan?
Don't
lie. Yeshua?
Solomon?
Samuel?
Samuel?
See, it's few and far between, aren't there? When a name is named before birth, Abram was named after birth. Sarai was named after birth. Ishmael was named before birth. What person before him was named before he was born? There isn't any. There isn't any. Noach means what? He got his name afterward because after the flood was over, then came Noach, rest. That's what the word means. Okay? So you have to kind of look at these names and find out what they all came from, what it was all about. All right. So it's very important to kind of pay attention to when God says something and he names something before it's going to be born. And the reason why he named it is because he is going to hear the descendants of, or he's going to hear Ishmael's mother. What did she say? She called on the name of Yahweh or Yahoo, who did what? Actually, it's the angel of the Lord that did it, but spoke to her. Now listen, try to put yourself in her shoes, especially women. You've been mistreated. Maybe you deserved it because you didn't want to be humiliated. But how? You're humbled. You're brought down to a point where now you must learn to be under submission. Because once humility takes place, submission becomes relatively an habitual way of living. All right? Being humble is a very wonderful place to be in. We don't think so, but it really is. And she said, "You are the God who sees." And some of your questions have it, for she said, "Have I also been seeing him who sees me?" That's a question, but in Hebrew it's not a question. Did you have your hand up, Stephen?
Oh, I might be interrupting. I was going to share a personal testimony about this humbling.
Okay. Now that has to come a little later, if you don't mind. I only have, I'm running out of time here pretty quick. All right, to kind of put it in Hebrew, I mean English, best way I can, I'm going to kind of see. And she called name Yahuwah, the word towards her, or translated as yours, who spoke to her, "Thou Elohim sees me." Because she said, "The who also gathers here sees after me." She wasn't a question, it was a statement. Now, why would she say that statement? What was going through her head? What was she thinking? She didn't say, "God heard me." She said, "God does what? Sees me." Now that's a bigger word, isn't it? Yes.
I'm wondering if it literally means see, like looking at, or does it mean
eyes from him saw her. Eyes from him saw her. And she said, he saw me. We're talking about angel of the Lord, but we have not clarified what that means yet. Yes?
Another, it's Young's literal translation. He has it as, even here have I looked behind my beholder.
They're right. That means after or for. Right. That's what it means. I mean, but you got it. You got it correct there. He sees after me. It's what that word it says also can mean to gather, or he sees after me. That Hebrew word means can be like he wrote there in that translation. He sees behind me. He watches out for me. He overlooks for me. He sees me. He's watching over me. Yeah, you know, in the Christian world, the Lord watches over me. Boy, this lady knew it. She saw it with her own eyes. Yes.
But I think there's a sense here. Even here have I looked behind my beholder. Is she actually...
That's his translation, but that's not what it says in Hebrew.
Okay.
She is amazed that he is looking at her. Mm-hmm. And he is looking after her. Behind her. Wherever she goes, he's behind her, looking out after her, looking for, not for her because she's not lost, but taking care of her. That's a prophecy that's going to take place, people. That's why her name is the one that flees. She will be gathered back. He's looking out. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? Yes.
That is what you're saying brought it to the modern day, that he watches over Ishmael's offspring, but he will gather them after the job is done?
So after the job is done. He must after the job is done, obviously. Because I'll tell you why. Let me go on farther. Let me backtrack here for just a minute. Go back to that verse where it says, verse 12... He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now we see why the sons of Ishmael are always in the presence of the face of the sons of Isaac. Yahuwah heard Hagar, fleeing one, and this is what he promised he made to Hagar. What did you promise her? No one is going to have authority over Ishmael. His brethren will not have dominion over him. Not even Abram had dominion over him. We'll see it as we go on. Why Abram had to give Ishmael and Hagar just enough provisions for one day. And you remember where she was found?
By a well.
By a well that produces what? Living waters. Remember, we'll get there. She didn't see it, but it was there all the time. He didn't see it until Hagar was allowed to see it by the angel of the Lord for him to see, for her to show. He is giving her what she needs. Not the bare necessities. It's a living water. And it's deep. Yes.
Oh, is that why then in the end of Zechariah that you see after a little bit of consternation that Egypt finally does go up to the
Jerusalem for the
peace tabernacle? Does that make sense, right?
Yeah.
He in prophecy he says, Egypt, my beloved. We think, hook a loved Egyptian. Hey, look. God has got eyes that we don't see very well with. We have to go high into the sky and look down like an eagle and see what he's really showing us. I hope we understand a little bit today that we have this portion of this particular person who's running wild, like a wild man. I mean, he's not tamed. It's like a tree that produces fruit. Technically, it's talked about his fruit is coming forth, but it's not producing edible things. That's what the wild donkey means. Not the tamed one that you can ride on to, but the wild one that you cannot ride on to. And he lives in the wilderness. The scripture of all wild donkeys are the ones that live in the wilderness. They don't live in towns and cities and metropolises like Israel did. They lived in the wilderness. And to this day, most Arabs don't like really like living in cities and towns. They like being out there in the open area, because that's what they are. That's what God told them to be, and they are. We may think that life is horrible. You know why? We're not Arabs. At least I'm not. I'm not a descendant of Ishmael. If I was, I'd probably be out there in the desert. All right. So we have a little picture here now. Now, this is the story of Hagar. And it's very important. And she named a place. And she named the place Ber-Lachai. Ber-Lachai. Ber means well. Lachai. I say it every time. Lachem.
Life.
My life. My life. That's what she's saying. The well, not the physical well, but the living water that comes from the Creator, the one who sees her, not only talk with her, but sees her and sees behind her, watching out for her, protecting her, doing what he's going to do. She says, and she's addressing that word as a well, not the physical well, though there was a physical one because it turned in later to be a well. Remember, it was just an eye. Became well many years later. It was just an eye, a small stream. You know, and springs come from where? Deep down under a river that's deep. All right. So I hope we have a little bit why she called it what she called, why she said what she said. And she says something very important here in the very last part of this verse, verse 14. And that's what she called that place. Now, she couldn't call that place then because she had to go back home. And that place became known as that later. Yes?
What did you say the name was?
Ber-Lachai.
Uh-huh. Mine says... three more letters after that.
Roy. Okay.
Does that mean well? See?
A deep blue of my life and seeing over me. Roy has to do with the sea. Roy is seeing over me. This well is my life and it's seeing over me. It's watching over me.
Yeah.
It's taking care of me. Now, there's going to be more trials that will come to her later. But we're not going to go into that today because it's not part of the story today. But I just want you to have a view of what the angel of the Lord, Melech Yahu, what he said. He didn't say it out of punishment. He said it out of prophetic sense. What's going to take place. Yes.
May I just share a personal testimony?
All right.
Okay. This particular passage just so ministered to me at one point when you mentioned the furnace.
Yes.
Yahweh requires us to go through a furnace. And how this struck me, Richard, was in verse 14. It says, this well of living water, Yeshua himself, is between Kadesh and Bered.
Right.
How do you say that, Bered? And I know there are multiple meanings for those two words, but one of the meanings for Kadesh is wilderness or
right.
Wilderness of wandering or desert. And one of the meanings for Bered is to do with stones and kind of like Sarah throwing stones at Hagar. And how it ministered to me was when we're in a furnace, which includes feeling alone, feeling in a wilderness, feeling isolated.
Right.
And also the rejection, whether it's an employer, a family member, a church, the Lord Yeshua promises to be a well. He promises to be a well of living water.
He also promises that we become living waters.
And I'm thinking as we go into this season in our nation where we may find ourselves in a similar furnace where Yeshua and the Holy Spirit says, submit.
Right.
Where our rights are not recognized. And that isn't what Yeshua's about. He's not about giving us our rights right now. He's about looking at an attitude in me as a quote, if I could say it, a spoiled Western Christian coming under the powers that be, and a breaking taking place in this furnace that I need in the midst of that.
And this country's heading for it, obviously.
To be a well,
and sometimes we have to kind of submit.
He's going to be my Be'er,
right.
Lahai, Roy, in the midst of that wilderness and that rejection or suffering.
Good.
All the house of Israel was put in the wilderness.
And submission is
the And submission was required, yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. He's going to be between Kadesh and Bered.
All right. Any more? We're going to be. I got to call it quits. Got way behind time, and Jeff needs to get his things together. Any more last comments?
Well, I've always had it in my mind that she ran away and never went back.
No.
But it doesn't, because you keep reading 17, 18.
No, she had to come back.
Ishmael is there when Abraham circumcises himself.
She wasn't, they weren't even born yet when she ran away.
Right.
She was still pregnant.
So Abraham never, so she dwelled, did she ever depart after that? Or?
She was sent away again.
She was turned away, but that was something that has to give with Sarah.
Okay.
Has to give with Sarah. And a picturing, if you picture what's happening, this is the desires of Israel today. Just get rid of them, push them out of there, get them out of there. But no, God said they're going to dwell right in your face. Going to dwell right there. All right? To tell you where that's heading. All right? Couldn't get rid of Ishmael. Ishmael comes in later in their life, especially Isaac's life and then Jacob's brother's life. All right.
Well, was Hagar aware of the promise of God? And
not until she heard that. Not until she saw. Heard what he said and saw. Then she was aware.